Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't Sell Squad podcast number 23. Resting injuries is not the answer. This episode covers the fallacy that resting injuries heals them and the best way to recover quickly from injuries. So we've all rested injuries, taken ages to come back, and most of the time still feeling fragile. That leads us to calling this area bad, like my bad ankle, my bad back, and the list goes on. At best, a lot of times rehab can do the job, but it takes way too long. And then at worst, a lot of the time rehab can like take ages and it doesn't even rehab the area properly. So resting injuries isn't actually the answer. Attentive progression is. And in this episode, I'm going to show you how to recover quickly from injuries to regain your physical freedom for sport and life. We'll break this episode up into an intro. So a quick intro on two of my own examples from different types of injuries and how I handle them differently that led me to all the wisdom and insight in today's episode. Then we'll break down the policy, the problem. Because as I said in the intro, like, it's a fallacy that the resting injuries heals. And we believe that if you don't do the research on the body. I remember believing that. It's actually a fallacy. It's not true. So I'll dismantle that. And then I'll go into three ways to follow like attentive progression over resting, which is the way forward. So I'll show you three ways to recover quickly from injuries. So on the intro, the examples that came into my mind here, kind of dealt with chronic pain injury going back since I was like 15, and I'm 31 now, so it's been a long time. But one of the earlier injuries was I broke my collarbone. So I think it was actually 16, because I was playing County Gaelic for Roscommon, and yeah, not a great story. I come on as a sub, and I was on the pitch for about 1 minute because I got shouldered, and my collarbone snapped in half. So that was great. I was very, very skinny back then. But with that injury, I rested that one and then took ages to come back. And then with a different injury, amazing new fracture. So this is years later, like after I'd regained my physical freedom and learned all the knowledge and become a coach, had the amazing new fracture, which is a broken leg and torn ankle ligaments, both sides of my ankle. And I had to get surgery. And I did all that rehab and recovered in like 7 weeks. And sorry, for the first rehab for the collarbone, I didn't even say that took me around 3 months and maybe even 4 or 5 until I could start using my shoulder properly again. So like, you know, broken collarbone versus a broken leg and torn ankle ligaments and surgery. The broken collarbone, 3, 4, 5 months. The Maisonneuve fracture, the much worse one, 7 weeks. So like reviewing those two just made me want to, like, I've done a newsletter on this topic before and posted about it on Instagram, but I wanted to make a podcast on it too to show people that resting injuries is not the answer. Like, I've learned all the kind of science behind why it isn't, but I have my own examples, like follow my own life experience. I've literally lived both paths. So to go into the problem then, so okay, resting injuries isn't the answer. Like, why isn't it, Mark? So I see why we get trapped with it, because obviously when you get the injury in the moment, you're not going to go and train it right there. Like, I get that. We do need certain periods of rest. But see, the crucial distinction here is excessive rest can end up becoming fragility training in disguise. Okay, so that's a point down further. It's kind of coming up here. But that's the crux of it, that yes, we do need to rest certain things for them to heal. But if you rest it too much, it just ends up getting really weak. So that's the kind of dichotomy of it, and it's the same with a lot of things in life. Like, you know, one I like to use all the time about, like, oh, everything is about balance. Like, you only need a certain amount of rest, and then you start training again. You don't rest it for ages. And the good other analogy is, like, water. The human body, what is it, like 70, 80% water? I don't know the stat off the top of my head. But we need water or else we're going to die. But if humans actually drink too much water, we die as well from hyponatremia. So again, like, it's all about the balance with everything really in life, and understanding it on a deeper level, understanding the nuance. And it's the exact same with injuries. So to go more into science on the human body, when we stress the body, it will get stronger over time. If we rest the body, it gets weaker over time. That's just the basic principle, which is called progressive overload, which is what we understand for things like the gym. If you want a bigger chest, if you keep stressing your chest muscles with the bench press, your chest will slowly get bigger and stronger over time. The body will adapt. It's the same for rehab. It's the same for mobility training. It's the same principles of the body. So like the gym analogy is a great one to transfer over, because if you think, what happens if I rest my chest for 3 months? It's obviously going to get weaker and smaller. Okay, I injured my ankle. Rested for 6 weeks. What's going to happen? all the muscles around the ankle are going to get weaker and smaller, and the ligaments and the tendons, everything, and the bone. So we only want to rest it as little as possible and start working on strengthening it then as much as we can. So that's why it's a fallacy, because if you resting something doesn't heal it. It only will heal it to a certain degree, but it will stay weak. It won't actually come back stronger, because the body, stress is the language of the body. Force is the language of the body. So without stressing it and telling the body, here, calf muscle gets stronger and bigger again so I can go and play sport. If we don't stress it, it's not going to get stronger. So resting things, it doesn't actually heal them. It heals them to a certain degree, but it makes them weaker over time. And weaker body isn't good for sport and life. And yeah, I have that line there, the excessive care ends up becoming fragility training in disguise. You know, another example, lots of different analogies are great because some of them will click with different people. Think of a kid. You want to protect your kid and keep it safe so you don't let it go outside and catch colds and germs and stuff. Yeah, you think you're doing the right thing. You think you're helping and protecting your kid, but what are you doing? That excessive care has ended up, that's fragility training for your kid, because the kid's immune system isn't getting used to all the dirt and everything outside to become stronger. The stress of the outside environment isn't going to make your kid's immune system stronger. So he's actually going to be weaker now. So that's the mother who's too much excessive care. They've actually made their son weaker. You know, and it's the same thing here with the body. Oh, rest this, rest that. You know, I'm a good coach, or I'm a good physio, whatever. You're actually not doing them a favor over the long term. You're training them to be fragile. And how do I obviously know that? I lived like that for 10 years. And obviously clients come to me it's the same sort of background. So to move on to the solution then, if you know resting things isn't the answer, what is the answer? Attentive progression. That's what I've done there. Attentive progression over resting, which just means progressing at your, attentive, paying attention to it, because I need to communicate back and forth with the client to do this. Only they know what they're feeling. So it's progressing in a way that your body is able to, because everyone's going to be different, you know, genetics, experiences, injuries, mindset, beliefs, everything. So it's going to be on a case-by-case basis. No, nothing is going to be the exact same. I can't say someone did it in this timeline, so you'll do it in that timeline. There's so much nuance to this stuff. But that's what we need to do. Progress it at your own pace as quickly as possible. So the 3 points I've broken it down into is that we get stronger through exposure, not avoidance, movement over progressive loading, and if you can't do what you want, do what you can. So there are 3 steps that are better to follow than just resting something for weeks or months thinking it's going to get better. We've all heard that story. Someone had an injury, rested it for 3 months, thought it had healed. They go play a match and they break it again or they tear it again. I've heard so many of them stories, and then they think, oh, I have a bad hamstring. It's no, just don't understand how the body works. So in terms of getting stronger through exposure, not avoidance, I've already really explained that one. But that's what we need to do. We need to expose our body slowly to the things that we want to do again. So if I sprain my ankle, cool. I want to get, as soon as possible, get some movement into the ankle and slowly start loading the ankle again, actually. But the crucial thing here is you just need to meet your body where it's at. There's different levels of ankle sprain. Can you put your weight on the ankle? No. Okay, cool. You're sitting on a chair doing little band exercises or little isometrics into your own hand. You see what I mean? Or else if you could walk, maybe, okay, you're walking a bit every day and you're doing some slightly harder exercises. So it's that Goldilocks thing. You don't want it too easy, you don't want it too hard. You want it just where it's challenging you, stressing you just enough so that you can adapt and improve without making anything worse. So that's the first one. That's what you need to do no matter what injury someone has when they come to me. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to find what is their Goldilocks range, where they can put a bit of stress into their injured area that's not going to overdo it. That's where we start. And obviously, we need to have a good chat about how this is safe, how, you know, show them all my times I've done that with injuries like the Maisonneuve fracture and different client examples, and just showing them the science behind it so that we can get on board with it. Because if we don't understand this, we think, oh, the doctor said that's dangerous or whatever. We're just not going to do these things. And then the second point there, movement and progressive loading. So, sorry, I think I said over. That's wrong. So movement and progressive loading. So rather than resting something, that's 2 things you want to do. You want to try and move it as much as you can, and you want to try and progressively load it. In other words, you could say mobility and strength. Okay, so movement and progressive loading, or mobility and strength. So, you know, take the Maisonneuve fracture example. I put it up before on Instagram. It was very bad. So my foot was a balloon. wouldn't want to go through that all that again. But yeah, it was a balloon, and you know, ankle ligaments torn both sides. Like, you couldn't really do it any worse, and to get the surgery, etc. But from day two after that surgery, I was doing little ankle circles, little ankle movements. It was barely moving, but I started the process. You know we get stronger through exposure, not avoidance. I know all this stuff, and I wanted to put it to the test, but I knew that moving it and slowly loading it ASAP is what's going to get me back quicker. Resting it isn't. You know, I'm resting most of the day, obviously, because I can't walk, but just like small bits of stress twice a day, that's what I need with it. And obviously, look, yes, the brackets, you know, if there's some complication with the surgery, or if there's something serious that the doctor mentions where you shouldn't be starting anything, cool. Like, yeah, there's obviously those things. But for my one, I'd got the all clear. He'd said rest it for 6 weeks, but I knew I wasn't going to do that. And since I had like no complications, I knew I could. I didn't say it to him, but I knew I was going to do this by myself. And like the quick flip to the end of that, when I did go in 6 or 7 weeks later, when I should have been hobbling in on the crutches to take off the boot and start the surgery, I was walking in like a normal person, you know, and it was a different doctor, and he was kind of checking the file. Like, long story short, I just explained what I did, because I could talk on the scientific level about what I did, about the body, the principles I followed, and he just said, yeah, cool, makes sense, keep doing that. You know, so it's like, I think a lot of this stuff, all the guidelines from like doctors in terms of injuries and stuff, it's all aimed at the average person. And what I mean by that is, well, I don't want to be average, you know. I like, average results are basically the kind of shit results, you know. So like, literally, when I see an injury recovery timeline in my head now, I cut it in half and I'm like, cool, that's what I'm aiming for. That's what I literally did. Amazing new fracture. It says 5 months. I came back in what, 7 to 9 weeks? Yeah, like around 2 months, even less than half the time. Because people just don't understand enough to do it safely. You know, because like, someone could actually hear this podcast and be like, oh, I broke my ankle. Mark says I should move it as soon as possible. And then like 2 days later, walk on a broken ankle and re-break it. Do you see what I mean? So all these guidelines are going to be very excessive. Like, oh, don't move it for 6 weeks. Like, think of this. Do you think they're doing that with elite athletes? Do you think they're doing that with Cristiano Ronaldo? They wouldn't be, because they need him back, because, you know, he's their star man, etc. So yeah, understanding all that, like all these guidelines, they're just for the average person, and to try and do it in a very, very safe way to make sure that you don't re-injure yourself, and then the hospital's in trouble, or the doctor's in trouble, or whatever. So that's what we did. Yeah, I moved it as soon as possible, and I started loading it as soon as possible. So even doing light isometrics, just my foot pushing into my hand very lightly, just what I could tolerate, and building that up slowly over days, over weeks, over months, slowly building the mobility and strength, and progressing just like in the gym, small gains like I'm always talking about. Like, it was fascinating to literally put all the stuff I learned into action in a like very serious injury, well, not, you know, a serious injury in front of my eyes. Like, the human body never ceases to amaze me. So that's mainly it. We need to understand, first step, like I said, we get stronger through exposure, not avoidance, that it's okay if you do it in a safe way. The second thing then, we work on the movement and progressively loading it, or we work on like mobility and strength. And then the third one is, if you can't do what you want, do what you can. I made a podcast on that a few weeks ago. Great philosophy for life, to be honest, but really helps with injuries. So you can do this as well for any injury. So if you can't do what you want, do what you can. Oh, stick with the Maze New Fracture one. I can't train lower body strength in the gym. Cool, more time for upper body, or more time for rehab, or more time for family, whatever. So that's always a good thing I like to put into lots of models I have, is like, if you can't do what you want, do what you can. Because while you're working on things, that'll keep your focus in the right place. Because that's what it really does. That quote helps you shift your focus to an empowering mindset over a disempowering one. That's literally what it does. That's why it helps you feel better and helps you get progress, because you're literally focusing on what you can do, just like it says there, rather than the things that you can't do. So that's it. And at the end then, when I'd written the newsletter, I just put the conclusion as, rest and get weaker, or move and get stronger. That's it. Like, the one-liners are great. They help us to kind of digest things and remember it. Like, when you've any injury, they're your two paths. Am I going to rest this and let it get weaker, or am I going to move it and make it get stronger? But obviously there's a lot of nuance to it, like we said, but that's literally it. Every time you get an injury, you're going to rest it and let it get weaker, or you're going to move it and let it get stronger. Because the truth is, we all have the same biology. Like, we're all the same species of humans, Homo sapiens, so we all have the same biology, and we all have the same ability to adapt. The only difference is how we actually use it, how we use our body. And the more we understand, the more we can get better results, like the ones that I mentioned. And even, obviously, I've given my own example, but I have a client now, Yushin, who's actually from Oregon in the US. skateboarder and snowboarder, and he had got amazing new fracture. So he found my one. I don't even know how he did, actually. Did he search it on Instagram? I don't know. But he was searching for amazing new fracture, like quicker recovery, because he wants to get back snowboarding ASAP. He found my story of, you know, doing it in seven weeks over 5 months or whatever it was, and signed up the Physical Freedom Program. We have him on the quicker recovery now. So I think we're three, four weeks in, literally doing the stuff we've talked about there. Like, he's gone to the doctor, he had to get the surgery. The doctor told him, don't do anything for 6-7 weeks. I've explained all I've explained here. He understands it, making sense. We're moving it, progressively loading it, slowly with different exercises, going back and forth. Much better. The swelling's gone way down. He's actually moving it now. Good mobility's coming back. He's actually even able to walk. Now, I suppose a lot of people coming to me, they're, you know, really passionate about training and stuff like I am, so I nearly have to actually pull him back a bit. I'm like, you know, we're not going to do that exactly yet. But yeah, progressing. Like, he's on track to do the same recovery I did. And actually, he signed up because he saw I didn't just do it. I did it with a different client, Francis, before as well. Francis had amazing new fracture. This is somehow becoming like an injury people come to me for, whereas the injury doesn't matter to me, but I suppose just the fact it's kind of so specific. Francis had amazing new fracture, saw my recovery, and her situation was different because she actually was the maid of honour at her best friend's wedding. So, Frances was in Australia, she's from Ireland. She was asked to be maid of honour in her best friend's wedding in Ireland, but it was literally in like 6 or 7 weeks. So the doctor had told her, rest for 6 or 7 weeks and then we'll start rehab. And you know, she's not going to make it back to the wedding because she won't be able to fucking walk. So yeah, she signed up, we got her back to the wedding, you know, 6-7 weeks, same timeline as me, and Yushin is roughly going to be on the same one as well. So it's just like I'm saying there, we've all the same biology, the same ability to adapt. There's nothing special about me. It's just because I know a lot more on the body because I've been forced to, or else, you know, had to retire at 25 and stop playing sport. So it's just through educating people and walking them through the same process that anyone could do it. And like, even it's funny just chatting to Francis after about all this, where we're like, it's mad that once you're on the other side of the fence, I think, of you understand how adaptable the human body is and what's really possible, and then you kind of look back over at everyone like settling and, you know, arresting injuries for 6 or 7 weeks and stuff before. Like, one of the reasons why me, Francis and Yushin are coming back from that amazing new fracture, you know, around 6-7 weeks before the average, it's just because we're starting 6 or 7 weeks before them. Like, that's literally it. Like, people are waiting 6-7 weeks before they start their first rehab session. We've started ours from day two. We're just 6 or 7 weeks ahead. Like, there's nothing, you know, there's no amazing exercise. There's nothing crazy done here. Like, we've literally just started 6 or 7 weeks before them in a safe way, in a nuanced way, because I'm obviously helping, coaching them through it and making sure they're doing it safely. So, yeah, we'll leave that one there. Yeah, and we just finished off, same as usual, like, the three ways I can help you then. So we have the Physical Freedom Program, that's about overcoming chronic pain and injury, reaching your athletic potential. So that's what we're going through today. Like, this is a topic from the Physical Freedom Education Hub. So there is coaching space available. If that's you, you know, same as Francis, same as Yushin, or just any sort of chronic pain and injury, reach out to me. We have the Mental Freedom course then. This is about to learn how to stop looping and suffering and skillfully navigate your own mind. Lifestyle Design University. Third one is about avoiding the biggest regret of humanity and designing the life true to yourself. In terms of following, then, the documentary's there. If you haven't seen that, I actually got a documentary done on my story. So if you're not too sure who I am, go and watch that. It was very professionally done. I was happy with it. And we got the new website as well. So they're the main two things. And on Instagram. Instagram is where I put out most of the shorter form content. And if you do want to get in contact, then Instagram or else email. So guywhodidn'tsettle@gmail.com. So that's pretty much it. I'm heading to the gym now. Left this podcast late this week again. It's 3:37 on Saturday. I've sent this to Hannah now and she'll be like, what the hell? Thought you were sending them on Thursdays and Fridays. But look, it's not perfect every week and we just need to get it done. So I'm just back from, I had a jiu-jitsu graduation this morning. So I'm just back at jiu-jitsu after a year out with a meniscus injury. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. Did kickboxing for a year instead, which I love now. But yeah, I was only back, maybe a month after a year out. And I went to the graduation just obviously to support everyone. But I actually got another stripe on my belt. Or a first stripe on my purple belt, which was a big surprise. I literally just went to kind of support everyone else. But yeah, ended up getting a stripe on my belt. So still a bit pumped from that. So that's pretty much it. And we're going to go gym now, come home for a big feast. So that's it. So thanks for listening. Should say as well, always keep forgetting, I would appreciate the reviews on it, so I know there's three 5-star reviews there now. Thank you very much. From whoever that was. Yeah, it's just like in terms of short form, put out loads of stuff on Instagram, but the longer form, which is actually what I prefer, the podcast, the newsletter, that I'm going to be keeping consistent with these. And obviously, if you people that are getting the value from it, if you support it, that helps it grow and helps the whole thing. So yeah, if you do, like, obviously, look, all this is put out there for free for you. That's what I want. I'm giving as much value as I can. But if you want to give anything back, that's the appreciation. It's just, look, it literally takes 2 clicks, actually. You just go in, click the 5-star, put it there, and then, yeah, that's all I'll ask for. So that's it. Just don't settle and live true to yourself.